Something good is about to happen. Sometimes you can feel it, you can anticipate it, and you just know that something good is about to happen. Sometimes you know that what you've been waiting for is just around the corner. You can't quite see it yet, but you know it's there. With Christmas, something life-changing, world-shaping, awe-inspiring is happening. But I think we have to strain to see it. Strain and stretch. Try to look over the shoulders of others in front of us. Strain past doubt and pain. Strain past disappointment and hurt. But we know something is happening. Have you ever wanted to see something really badly? It's an interesting place to be in, because the anticipation of what we want, what's going to be shown, causes you to strain and lean forward and listen carefully, maybe even stand on your toes as you're trying to see. A couple of years ago, I was able to go to Paris. And we went to a museum called the Louvre. I think it's called the Louvre, either that or Louvre, but that sounds like a window thing. It's a famous museum because it's got so many famous paintings and pieces in it. That's what fancy people call pieces of art, pieces. And if you might have some pieces in your house, I don't. I just have home sense stuff. But we knew we wanted to see Rembrandt's, with the exception of one that our friend Heidi Champagne painted, which is amazing, and that is a piece. So we went to the area, and it was actually awe-inspiring. The paintings were amazing. We just sat there and absorbed all this amazing communication from Rembrandt, and it could have ended there. It would have been a good day. But we had a conversation. Do we do what all the tourists do when they come to the Louvre? Do we see the one piece of art that everyone has to see? I'm talking about the Mona Lisa. It's the painting that all the touristy types go to see. Of course, all those people have to see the Mona Lisa. And of course, those people, they have to get a selfie with her. We're a bit more sophisticated than that. Like, we actually thought that if we go there and look at the Mona Lisa, we'll be having conversations about it like we're guests on Masterpiece Theater. So we decided that although we were most definitely not those touristy types, although we are so sophisticated, such connoisseurs of art, such individuals, we will still go see the Mona Lisa. So we headed to the room where the Mona Lisa was. And unlike the Rembrandt room, this one was packed solid. I mean, it was like standing on a bus in rush hour when you can't move, and even if the bus hits the brake, you're safe. It was like that. There were so many people. And we just kind of followed the crowd. We moved with the crowd. We couldn't see the Mona Lisa. Eventually, we got near the front. But it was still hard to see. And I was standing on my toes trying to get a look at this thing, peeking between heads, looking for openings, jostling for position, just straining to see it. And believing that something was actually there that was worth looking at. After doing this for a while, we finally got to the front, and we were there with the Mona Lisa, that piece. And I admit it was a bit disappointing. I thought it was going to be huge. It was like a 5x7 on a big wall, like a 5x7 on that wall. That's what it looked like. Or like a postage stamp. It was just the size of a human head. But still, it was the Mona Lisa. So this is what I did when I got close enough. I took a selfie. Sometimes we wait for something to happen. We wait for that thing that seems so important. We wait and we wait and we wait. We strain. And we anticipate. And we get to the thing itself, it can be a bit of a letdown. Do you find yourself jostling for position, trying to get a taste of the thing that's being revealed that we call Christmas? Do you find yourself straining, peeking around the corner, maybe pushing a bit to catch this thing called the Christmas spirit? Just a bit, just to feel it, to bask in it? With Christmas, something is being revealed. Are you straining to see it? Straining to understand its significance? Straining to get a peek at the true meaning? We know, we believe, we have faith and hope that something good is about to happen. What is it? We've been moving through this sermon series in Advent called The Advent of Reconciliation. And like previous years, the Sundays of Advent are hope, peace, joy, and love. And Advent reveals something very important to us and for us. It reveals that this whole thing we celebrate, this whole season of Advent, is about reconciliation. That's the big picture. That's what God is all about. He's about reconciling himself to humans and creation. He's about bringing hope. He's about bringing peace. He's about filling us with joy. He's about healing us and sending us out with love. And that's all part of the big picture of what God is up to in Advent. It's all about reconciliation. Advent anticipates that reconciliation. So this year we want to peek around the corner, stand on our toes, and strain to see what is revealed about God and who He is. What's revealed about life and how to live it in the struggles and the pain, and to get perspective and hope. Listen to what we see about God in John 3:16 verses to 18. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through Him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him, but anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Did you see it? Did you catch it? God is revealed as a God of love. God's love is a love of action that seeks, that saves, that heals. God's love is a love of reconciliation. And that's what we see when we look, when we strain to see. That's what's revealed to us about God. Now, the setting of John 3:16 is around a discussion that Jesus is having with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man desperately straining to see the things of God, trying to catch a glimpse, trying to see around the corner. He wanted to see the kingdom of God, but he wasn't quite seeing it. Jesus told him something that made him want to see all the more, made him hungry and thirsty to taste and drink of the things of God. Jesus said to him that if he actually wanted to see the kingdom of God, he had to be born again. Maybe it's familiar language to some of us, but this whole born again bit was puzzling to Nicodemus. And it should be, shouldn't it? Think about it. Born again? How could this even be possible? Nicodemus wanted to see. He wanted to touch the things of God. He's a man that you and I might write off. A man that we would see as having no possibility, no future, no hope, beyond help. Someone that if we were being strategic, we would decide to maybe move on, move past him to the next person in line. But interestingly enough, the story doesn't go that way. Jesus doesn't see him that way. Instead, he sees him as a man full of possibility. But Nicodemus isn't there yet. He's reaching and straining. He can't quite grasp this love that God is talking about. So Jesus explains it to him. Listen, Nicodemus, hear this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus, that poor guy. The love he'd been searching for his whole life. The love that was always just out of reach. That love that was just in his head. It's here. It's me. I am love. I am here for you, Jesus says. This is the reveal. Nicodemus, this is what God is like. He sent me to give you life. Real life. Abundant life. Full life. Eternal life. A life of hope. A life of peace. A life of joy. A life of love. And something happened to Nicodemus. We don't know exactly at what point, but this old curmudgeon, this guy who spent his time reading stale definitions of love from musty and stinky textbooks, this guy who was more interested in correct punctuation than people, turned into a new creation. He was reborn. And Jesus said, being born again is like that. It's not something you did. The wind did it. The Spirit did it. It's a transformation. It was something that happened. Something was revealed to Nicodemus that day, something he was trying to see, something he was straining to see, but was just around the corner. And you know what was revealed? True, pure, unrestrained love. That's what he encountered, and it changed him forever. Many of us are probably waiting in anticipation for this love that's revealed in Jesus and talked about during Advent. We want to feel it, to experience it, to have it transform us. So we strain for it, we reach for it. We try to look around the corner. We know it's there. All of us want that kind of love. We crave it. We desire it. We want to see it and touch it. Sometimes it's not easy to see. We live in a world with people in pain and sometimes with painful people. So we have to strain to see, stand up, and stretch into the distance. And you don't have to search far to come up with pain when you wanted love. You don't have to search far to come up with hurt when you craved acceptance. Some of the most significant, deep, lasting hurts are from people who love us. Isn't that ironic? They have the ability to love us the most and to hurt us the most. Our parents, the ones who brought us into the world, have their own issues, and those are imprinted on us. So the greatest potential source of love from another human being turns out to be a mixed bag. Some things about us are accepted and some things are rejected. And that forms us. It's not just the parents that fall short, it's other people. It's churches. And often I think most of the time, the church does a pretty good job and means well. But it's full of people with issues. And I know from personal experience, the church hurts people too. Well-meaning people, just like parents. But people that have ironically never learned to love the way Jesus loved Nicodemus or the way God loved the world. The world is full of people who want love but haven't been transformed by love. You know, all of us here today, we are all a bit messed up. Some of us don't hide it. Some of us hide it better. Some of us have healed more. Some of us have been hurt less. And this love that we experience, the love we don't experience, affects how we see the love offered to us by Jesus. And I know there are people here who are in deep pain. People whose lives have been lived as a reaction to the love that they didn't receive, or as a reaction to the type of love that they did receive. Hurts, internalized, deep wounds. Does anyone here know what I'm talking about? Anyone? There's two of us that have experienced hurts in our lives. Two, that's amazing. You guys are, oh man, I'm so glad to be at this church. We can hear a message about God's love, and conceptually we know, yeah, that makes sense, I get it, but that's here, not here. And somehow the message isn't getting through. It's not connecting. It's getting stuck up there and not working its way down into the heart. And I don't care how much you know about love, how much you read your Bible, how many Greek and Hebrew words you know for love, how many books you've read. Or as the Bible says, it doesn't matter if you're a prophet, if you know all of God's secrets, if you possess all knowledge, if you have enough faith to make mountains move. If you don't have love, you are nothing. If the message of love doesn't reach deep down inside, nothing is going to change. You need to hear it deep down, down in your being, and know that you are loved and feel that you are loved. So the Christmas message offers us a glimpse of something better. It offers us a peek around the corner that shows us what real love is. It's a love so drastic, so committed that no matter what, there's room for you. And God's love is present when we strain, even when we can't seem to see it, even when it seems too far away to feel, His love is present. It's the love that motivates all that is good in the world. It's the love that's behind all the great loves of life. It's the love that's the author of all the great romances. It's the love that paints all the masterpieces to teach us about life. That's God's love, and it's a force of transformation. There's this command in the Bible, it's called the Shema. And it's known as the greatest command. Maybe when you hear the word command, you hear, don't do this, don't do that. You are so bad, you need to change. But Shema isn't like that. That's not the essence of what God has for us. It's about what we do. The greatest thing you can do in life is love. Love God and love others. That's what Jesus tells us. It's the very greatest thing. The most important thing, that's what we are called to. And for all of us who are hurt, the two of us in the room, that's us. This is how we are healed. We follow this command. The more you love, the closer to the front of the line you get. The Shema is a glimpse into the heart of God and what's important to Him. It's a reveal. It's what God is like. Because Jesus came and said, God loved the world like this. He put His love into action and sent His Son. And He offers, invites people in to experience that love. And then later, we learn that the greatest command is to love. If you do this, if you love, you will learn to accept love. Love. I want to tell you that I was trying to wrap this sermon up and I felt like there was something missing. It's not a good feeling Sunday morning. I felt like I wanted to give you more, some steps, like maybe 7. A technique, maybe a shortcut some clever shortcut I could come up with to fulfill all your love desires and help you be lovely people, which you already are, or some kind of surefire way to experience perfect love and give that love away something more like math, like a formula. And I don't have that. It doesn't exist. But I can say this. It's about opening yourself up, allowing God's work to take root inside you, and allowing Him to go to those deepest places of hurt and secret in your life and redeem those places. Because I know that God is in the business of taking what was meant for evil and redeeming it, turning it to good. That's the business of Christmas. That's the business of reconciliation. And I know that we have all been hurt and still carry those wounds. And we think that they are secrets that we hide well, but you don't hide them that well as you think. They come out in the ways we interact with other people, in the way we are able or unable to accept and give love. You think you're hiding it, but you're not. I wish I could give you a shortcut, but it's hard work. It's doing the work of facing those things and allowing God's Spirit inside to change us. And that's what happened with Nicodemus. This legalistic wooden man somehow met with love and was transformed. My own journey, like yours, is about struggling to accept love and give love more like God. You know, a message I received growing up was, you are not enough. I heard that. Not verbally, but I picked it up. And you guys pick up messages too. And you need to be more to be loved more. But this is what's happened. Those things are being transformed, and I know this is true. Those things that are wounds, they turn into our strengths and make us stronger. That's what God does. Those things have become my superpowers. Well, not quite, but I'm working on it. God sends His Spirit. His Spirit meets us. And as we open and face things, our stuff, our baggage, He comes in and makes it new. He makes something beautiful out of that stuff you thought was junk and garbage. He makes something beautiful out of that stuff that we try so desperately to keep hidden. That's what God does. That's what Jesus does. That's what His Spirit does. Something good is about to happen. We sense that every Christmas. Something good is about to happen. Something good has happened. God has revealed Himself as ultimate love. And He is all about the healing and reconciliation of the world and us. And every one of us has a bit of Nicodemus in us. We are searching for that deep love that we long for. We are straining to see it, stretching, peeking over the shoulders of people in front of us. And I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like Jesus. It looks like the greatest command. It looks like moving love from the head deep into the heart. It looks like giving love to others and then receiving it yourself. It looks like loving God with everything, with your all, with your whole being. That's what's revealed in Advent. We see something that strains the eyes, but we know it's there. We strain and we stretch and we look for that love. And you know what? We don't have to see it perfectly. God doesn't demand our perfection. He doesn't demand that we understand the totality of His love. But He wants us to look. He wants us to seek and search. He wants us to look over the horizon to His love. He wants us to reach for it. And then He reaches for us. And if we do that, He will do amazing work in your life. You will become the masterpiece, that piece of art that you already are. Something good is about to happen.